Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty Father, Mother, Giver of life and all good, you've called us together this evening to feed on your word. Help us come open-minded, open-hearted, willing, Lord, to receive your word deep in our hearts, that it might guide us, inform us, inspire us in the way that we take as pilgrim people on this planet Earth, moving from separation to wholeness, moving from the particular to your all-embracing general. What a privilege it is to be here, available and willing. What a blessing to be in a living stream of consciousness that's come down to us from the ages. Help us justify tonight, Lord, the efforts made by those in the past. And may our efforts be a blessing to those who will yet come and a glory to you. Move in each of us, Lord, in a clear, obvious, unmistakable way to make it absolutely evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. We pray this in the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen. Our first reading this evening is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. This is the word of the Lord. And the refrain from our responsorial psalm, number 112, is, "Bless the man who fears the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed." Bless the man who fears the Lord. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Blessed the man who fears the Lord. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Blessed the man who fears the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, alleluia. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, Do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand in prayer in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. This is the gospel of the Lord. I've been overwhelmed, had my mind blown, had my heart opened so many times by the gifts that have come to us through the Hubble Space Telescope. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, there it is. Oh, could anything be more beautiful, more glorious or grand, or a greater witness to the amazing universe of which we are necessarily a part, though our attention is occupied with lesser things. That's always going on. In fact, right now we're in the heart of the galaxy. Our little solar system is a tiny little light among the billions and billions of solar systems that make up the galaxy that we call the Milky Way galaxy, but which is our home. One of the things that, the most beautiful things I think that, at least the one that sticks with me most from the Hubble, is the picture of the galaxy M51, the spiral galaxy. There it is, kind of tilted to the camera, and you can see the spirals going around and around and around and around, and ridges. They are ridges so that they get tinier and tighter and tinier and tighter as they go toward the center. Now, not only did the colossal presence and order of that thing blow me away, but it was also that it was very familiar to me. It's been familiar to me since I was a little kid. It's water going down the tub. It's a spiral of water going down. And so the galaxy is rotating. It's spinning around a still center on an axis that is vertical to the galaxy itself. It's always in motion. Now the motion from our point of view is so colossal and so vast, we can hardly see it. But our own galaxy too is taking its tour through the heavens and going on a migratory cycle. That's an extraordinarily long cycle, but it's moving and it's rotating. And in all the movement is an expression of sharing, of energy and form and energy, coming into appearance and going out of appearance, appearing as these colossal ridges of light and then spiraling down the drain into who knows what's next. But one of the principles that we first learn when we begin to study the Western tradition of wisdom is the law of analogy, or the rule of analogy, which says that which is above is as that which is below, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. Now what that's telling us is that there aren't a whole lot of different patterns or principles by which these exchanges between facts and essence, or essence and facts, or facts and facts, there are only just a few ways, and they're lawful. They're lawful from high to low. The same turning and spinning we see on the atomic level, and we can see how atoms shed electrons in various processes. But what we want to take away from this is that there's a principle that's operating in the vastest things we can possibly be aware of and in the tiniest things that we've been aware of. And that principle is something that invites us to participate in the offerings that Paul and Christ make to us tonight in a personal way that understands. Now, most of the time when I've been taught Scripture, at least in my life, it's been a command. You need to do this. You need to do this. This is a good thing to do. You're a better person if you're generous. You need to do it this way. You're a better person if you hold in your pride and don't show it to anybody. But I don't think those are good reasons at all. The reason is to understand. Because this is a lawful universe. And all processes, all interactions, whatever they may be, on whatever level, take place according to laws. Those laws are expressed as principles, which are always the same everywhere, on a big scale and a small scale, on a personal scale and an impersonal scale. So the law that Paul was expressing could be called the law of flow. He's saying God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. Now right here in one sentence, we've gone from a little bitty seed and it's all been processed and passed hand to hand, and now it's food going into somebody. He's showing us there's a process by which exchanges are made. Giving and receiving go on. And he's citing generosity as being a very faithful thing to be faithful to, a principle. Because it's the God loves a cheerful giver. Whoa. Isn't God a cheerful giver? Giving all the light to all the galaxies and all the life to all the beings. God is constantly giving himself. He is nothing but self-donating and self-giving. And you and I, created in his image and likeness, have retained his image. We are three-brained beings. We are spirit, soul, body. But whether we've retained his likeness is a matter of our personal will. And our personal will is based on how we understand things and where we fit into this very structured and law-abiding universe. So flow is what Paul's kind of talking about here. The flow generously. Living systems flow. They're always flowing. They're always giving. And you and me, because we're living systems created in his image and likeness, would want to have our likeness as close to God's as possible, to become as generous and self-giving of our treasure, our time, our affection, whatever it is, because God loves a cheerful giver, because that's the nature of a God-like being. Love can get into a creature that's self-giving and generous. Love is in the flow, and the flow is in life. Now, we've got a cultural norm which talked about hanging on, holding, collecting, keeping, storing. This is death. Things that are dead don't exchange with the world around them. There's no flow, no interaction. Living systems are always vibrant and alive, and they're always giving. We have a lake up near the house, or it was a pond. We called it Dead Cow Lake for the longest time because there was a dead cow laying there one day. But Dead Cow Lake used to have an outlet and an inlet. It used to have flow in it. And it always had a sense of vitality. Well, they dammed it up and they diverted whatever it was that fed it. And now it has no life in it but sludge worms and things like that. There is no flow and there is no life. Anybody who has begun tithing will begin to understand how this sowing generously means reaping generously. It just happens that way. Because we're imitating God. We're making room for more to come in by letting go of some. Now, Jesus tells us about the science of letting some of it go. About the art of maintaining, here's another principle, a center of gravity. When our center of gravity is like that center of gravity that the spiral galaxy is flowing around, then we're stable in the midst of all the daily things that cycle past us. There are opportunities during every day to look good, to shine a little bit, to be generous. Maybe you give a couple of bucks to somebody on a corner with a sign. Well, he suggests don't let your right hand tell your left hand that that was pretty good, because you lose your true reward. And so when we give the money and then we go, well, I noticed those other people in those other cars didn't do that. And it goes to show you, doesn't it? Well, you can do that, but there's another thing that was completely ignored because of that. The deep inner feeling of oneness between the person that gave something small away and the person who received it, when their eyes met and they exchanged the holiness of being in the world together, neither one of them powerful enough to do something about this. But in the acknowledgement of the common humanity, each of us is made more real. When we're doing our holy stuff, when I first started to meditate, there was no, I mean, it's like when I quit drinking, you know? Nothing like somebody who just quit drinking or smoking to pour the heck out of others telling stories. So I was all on about what a meditation will do for you. Oh, meditation, But you know what? I was missing some of the intimacy of this is just between you and me, Tim. This is just between us. And if you keep it and treasure it that way and don't let it out of your mouth, you'll find that there's an intimacy that builds that doesn't depend on the acknowledgement of others to feel really good about being a human being alive. And so the center of gravity is always God, and it's always the still point. It's what we call in the work the ray of creation, coming right now down into the moment, and it's the here-now-ness of us in every moment of every day, no matter what is going on. Now, we'll see ourselves sucked out of that center, or invited to be sucked out of that center, for pride or power or to be seen well for vanity's sake. Usually the first three energy centers are sufficient. There's tons of stuff in there. The point is that the principle says that you lose force whenever you're out of your center. You lose force and you distribute unconscious influences into the world when you're out of your center. When you're in your center, you don't need to say anything to anybody very much. They'll think you're wise because you listen. And if you listen, you're liable to feel that intimacy again, that sense of participating in the world together. It took me years to learn to treasure other people's views, to treasure them saying their views. I would either be waiting to say my piece and trying not to forget it, or being so bored I was allowing myself to drift. But there's a way to be present to somebody that comes from the center, and it meets them in their center. And we become far more real to ourselves when we live that way than when we do things out of should or ought, or because we're attracted to, or because we're afraid to let go. When we start letting go of our own self-image, when we let go of some of our treasure for others, the flow begins to start in us. And we begin to, by being obedient to these principles, to enter into the fullness and the abundance of this life that is just pouring out of everything everywhere. Now, we Americans are well off, at least we people in Westlake Hills area of Austin are about as well off as people have ever been. And yet, for all of that, there's a strange dearth of happiness because we still haven't come under that principle of self-donation, of giving ourselves away, as God gives himself away, as Jesus gave himself away to manifest the Christ in the Trinity for the whole of creation. So the call is for us to live intentionally and consciously under the principles that govern creation, by having strong centers, and by giving and receiving, almost like breathing in and breathing out, constantly giving and receiving, modeling ourselves after life itself. The human being clenching herself or himself, clenching personal righteousness or clenching on to personal gain, clenching on to anything. Can't do this for very long. We get our 3 score and 10, and then it's obligatory letting go. Now, my experience is that letting go in life, letting go in the middle of life, makes us doubly alive even more. It's hard to say. But Jesus has been calling people for 2,000 years. Paul, echoing Jesus, is converting people right and left to not our former ways or our unconscious ways, but to the ways of creation itself, as image and likeness manifestations of that creation. The image is intact, and the likeness is always inviting us to become as endlessly generous as God, trusting in Him to be certain that we're not going to lose a thing except our sense of otherness. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.